And a very good morning to you. It's 9:30. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, the live reading of the Green Valley News. Again, good morning. My name is Mark DeGroft. Grab your coffee. Let's see what's happening around the Suarita and Green Valley area. Our weather today. Today, our high is going to be 71 degrees with a low of 34. Sunshine, highs in the low 70s, lows in the mid 30s. Humidity, currently 32%. Cloud coverage is 8%. The wind is out of the west-southwest at 14 miles per hour. No chance of rain today. The UV index is 5, which is moderate. And sunrise today was at 6:45:26. And sunset tonight, 5:29:32. Again, sunny and high today, 71 and winds. Tonight, clear skies, low of 34. A little chilly. Tomorrow, sunny skies and a high of 58 degrees and winds out of the northwest for 10 to 15 miles per hour. Okay, grab your coffee. Let's take a look at, you may know there was an election yesterday. The numbers I'm going to give you are preliminary, although some of them are fairly certain. Donald Trump, 51%, 51.9% of the vote for president. 1,156,579 votes to Kamala Harris, who's the Democrat candidate, at 1,052,119 votes at 47.2%. And again, these are unofficial. The Pima County Board of Supervisors out of District 1, these are all with 99% of the precincts reporting. Rex Scott, the Democrat, has won at 46,119 votes to Steve Spain, the Republican candidate, 36,216, 56% to 44% with 99% of the voting in. District 2, Matt Hines won 26,366 votes, and John Becker lost that one. District 3, Jennifer Allen, the Democrat, 29,924. Janet Wittenberger, the Republican candidate, 22,709. District 4, Steve Christie, 37,663. Vanessa Bechtel, the Democrat, 38,619. So it looks like Bechtel's won that one, although these are preliminary. District 5, Adelita Grijalva, the Democrat, 30,184 votes. To Val Romero, who's an independent, 9,170 votes. Pima County Sheriff, Chris Nanos, 153,418 votes, and Heather Lappin, the Republican, 138,293 votes. Pima County Treasurer, Brian Johnson, the Democrat, 165,769 votes. To Chris Ackerley, the Republican, 125,855 votes. Pima County Recorder, Gabrielle Caceres Kelly, to Democrat, 177,000 votes, and Dominic Campbell Gonzalez, 111,000 votes. Tucson Unified School District, three people. The winners were Esteban Flores, Natalie Luna Rose at 64,000 votes, Ravi Shah at 48,000 votes, and Sadie Shah at 54,000 votes. Catalina Foothills Unified School District Board, two winners. That's too close to be called. However, at 99% of the precincts reporting, Bart Pemberton at 3,334 votes, Jacqueline Dovely, 7,049 votes, Jennifer Repshire, 4,092, Tom Logue, 6,555. So it looks like Jacqueline Dovely and Tom Logue are in the run there. Flowing Wells District School District, Kevin Daly, Stephanie Miller, Wendy Effing have won the three positions. Suarita Unified School District 3, 99% of the precincts reporting. It looks like Amy Petersmark has taken the lead on that of 3,485 votes, followed by Denise Reese. That's really too close to tell. Tanca Verde Unified School District, 99% of voting in. Ann Velosa, 2,414 votes over Christy Brent. Vail Unified School District, three people. Those elected were Allison Pratt, Callie Tippett, and Chris King. And let's see what else I've got here. Some ballot measures, but not all of them. Ruben Gallego is leading Kerry Lake by 1,111,668 votes to Lake's 1,050,375. Eduardo Quintana, the Green Party delegate, is our candidate, that is, 43,455. District 3, Yasemin Ansari wins. District 4, Greg Stanton is leading by 8.25 percentage points. District 5, Andy Biggs leads by 18 percentage points. And District 6, Kristen Engel leads by 1.73 percentage points. Ballot measure 133 looks like it was no, voted no, at 1,174,925 votes, 57.9 of total votes. Ballot Arizona 134, which would modify initiative and referendum signature requirements. The no's have won that at 1,178. To the yes, 849, 58.1 to 41.9. Arizona ballot measure 135, modify emergency powers in a general election. 1,160,000 voted no over the yeses. Arizona 136, allow contests of constitutionality for initiatives prior to election. The no's have won that at 62.1% of the vote and 37.9 against for it. So that's what I have for now, okay? And we'll update that, I'm certain, as we go through the day. So it looks like there's a story here by Jen Fifield Vobede who says results from the ballots cast at Maricopa County's Election Day polling places will be delayed due to a Republican-backed change in state law, a lag that could fuel false claims as the nation awaits the outcome of the presidential ballot race. Expected slowdown stems from a new state law that was enacted in February that requires poll workers to tally the number of mail ballot envelopes dropped off at the location before they deliver those results to the central counting facility. It's just an initial count of the number of ballot envelopes. And the votes on these ballots get counted later after voter signatures on the ballot envelopes have been verified. And how are the votes tallied? The first results were posted at about 8 o'clock p.m. These are the tallies of early ballots cast before the election day up to a certain point. Typically, these results include an all in-person early voting and mail ballots received up to the weekend before the election. Then the next round of results comes from voters who cast ballots in person at the polls on the actual election day, so yesterday. This could come in from 9:45 to 11:15 a.m. based on previous elections. And then after the election day, the next results report are the ballots sent in the mail received by counties in the days just before the election. Typically, some of those results are posted the following night once voter signatures are verified. And then the last ballots to be counted are those mailed in and received on election day or dropped off at polling places or in ballot drop boxes on election day. Typically, counties will update results at least once a day until all results are in. Now, what's happening today? State elections officials will release initial general election results by 8 p.m. last night and today. After that, the results are updated as the counties receive data from the polling locations. The Green Valley News Wednesday print edition will have the results as of about 9:30 p.m. this evening and will be updated online at gvnews.com as results continue to come in. Still, the task will take time. In past elections, more than 1,500 mail ballots have been dropped off at busy sites on the day of the election. And Maricopa County, one of just a few closely watched swing counties in a later time zone, will not provide an estimate for when officials are expecting polling place returns. as soon as I give a time, and I'll be held accountable for it until the end of my time, till the end of time, said County Election Spokesperson Jennifer Loomer, adding that the new requirement to count affidavit envelopes is too big of a factor to make a prediction. During the primary election, most Maricopa polling places didn't report results until 10:55 p.m., with final reporting of polling places results at 1:15 a.m. And for a few reasons, the reasons are likely to come later in the upcoming collection. Republicans normally urge election officials to post results quickly as possible, but Republican state lawmakers push for a new counting requirement as a way to ensure that the number of dropped-off mail ballots at each site is documented before the ballots are taken to the central counting facility. So right now we are at preliminary numbers, as I told you. It's unclear when media organizations will have enough information to make the call on who won the presidential contest in the state. Large number of states voters wait until election day to drop off their ballots at the polling place. The county is estimating it'll take 10 to 12 days to finish counting all the ballots for the November election, which is about average compared with previous elections. But voters should expect races to be called sooner, unless the winning margin is so tight it triggers an automatic recount. State is scheduled to certify final statewide results on November 25th. And Jim Fifield is a reporter for Vote Beat, based in Arizona, as a nonprofit news organization covering local election administration and voting access. The Continental MNO override is being called too close to call. There's a picture here of Chris Ackerley showing how taxpayers can find adjustments made to their property tax bills in regards to the Continental School District. Continental Elementary School District's maintenance and operations override still hung in the balance as of Tuesday night, with several votes still left to tally. Prop 410 was passing by a slim 51-49% as of 10:30. The override, originally passed in 2016, was due to expire in 2026. Officials were asking for it to continue with a 1% increase. In November of 2020, 63% of the voters agreed to continue it, bringing in an additional $540,000 to the district over a seven-year period. The override had helped minimize class size, offset state and federal funding restrictions and reductions, and maintain fine arts and physical education programs. And since it was approved, it will continue to do so, Superintendent Roxana Rico Bukage said. Owners of a house with an assessed valuation of $200,000 are currently paying about $30 a year for the existing override, and now it's estimated they'll see their property taxes increase by about $2 annually. This according to Greg Schubert, who is the Director of Business Services. The additional $40,000 that will be generated by the 1% increase will help balance federal funding cuts, Rico Bukage said. And this year alone, federal cuts have resulted in a $77,000 loss for the district, according to Rico Bukage. It is 9:44 here at Sun Sounds of Arizona in Tucson. Cochise County Recorder's race impacted by delayed release of vote tallies. Mark Levy Herald review. Out of Bisbee, the delayed release of early voting tallies due to a bomb threat against the Cochise County Elections Department on Tuesday night means the Herald Review is unable to call the hotly contested race for the Cochise County Recorder. A better picture of whether incumbent David Stevens will stave off a challenger from Democrat Ann Carl should come into focus by Wednesday night after a larger swath of counts and are released by the county elections officials. Back in early 2023, Stevens seemed likely to be a shoo-in for re-election this month to another four-year term. However, a series of public missteps led to questions of whether longtime Republican and former state legislator was an election skeptic or, even worse yet, an election denier. According to Stevens, both descriptions as grossly incorrect, but Carl, who first started campaigning in May of 2023 to unseat the county recorder, has been successful at getting voters to pay attention to those missteps, such as Stevens' controversy hiring of an elections director who didn't even stay on the job for 4 months. Then there was Stevens' incorrect allegation that some voters seeking to recall Supervisor Tom Crosby, a fellow Republican, had violated the law. There was also his advocacy of state funding to make ballot paper more hack-proof, which was a project torpedoed by the county board over issues with deadlines and communications. Carl, who is a former attorney with private practice experience as well as time at the Cochise County Attorney's Office, would eventually have a wealth of new issues with which to attack Stevens, including multiple and costly election-related legal actions, which named the county recorder as a defendant in his official capacity. And some of those lawsuits required Stevens to be named as a nominal defendant, even though he was not involved in the underlying dispute. But in a few of the cases, Stevens was a direct defendant. By November of 2023, Carl had a new issue to focus on, the felony indictment of Crosby and Supervisor Piggy Judd, related to the delayed canvassing of Cochise County's 2022 general election results. Judd pleaded guilty last month to a misdemeanor to resolve the criminal charges, while Crosby is waiting a ruling from the Arizona Court of Appeals on whether he must stand trial next year. Stevens wasn't directly involved in the canvassing dispute, but a cloud was cast over him due to his close association with Crosby and Judd on other issues, such as expanding the post-election hand count audit. And then in July, Stevens appeared on the Republican primary ballot unopposed. He received 14,748 votes, the second lowest of the six incumbents seeking re-election. By contrast, Sheriff Mark Danels received 16,100 votes. Judge Jason Lindstrom received 14,862. Treasurer Kathy Trawick received 15,268. And Assessor Phil Leyendecker received 15,204 votes. The only Republican countywide incumbent who received fewer votes was County Superintendent Jackie Clay at 14,714. Stevens was first elected as Cochise County Recorder in 2016 with nearly 60% of the vote against the Democratic challenger. He was reelected in 2020 unopposed. The delayed release of the first round of vote tallies on Tuesday night in the 2024 general election was expected to favor Stevens, as registered Republicans hold a 15,000 advantage over Democrats in Cochise County. Carl, however, spent much of the last 18 months spreading her message of integrity matters and government that matters in hopes that it would hit home with not only a few Democrats, but also some disaffected Republicans. In addition, her campaign placed an emphasis on reaching out to the roughly 35,000 unaffiliated and small party registered voters who live in Cochise County who could tip the election in Carl's favor. For his part, Stevens spent the last several months shoring up support at various conservative and nonpartisan community events, but he has significantly trailed Carl in campaign financing, something not too uncommon for incumbents who often benefit from far greater name recognition. Carl's campaign committee reported overall receipts through September 15th of more than $66,000, with expenditures at $58,348. In comparison, Stevens reported he started 2024 with roughly $7,600 on hand and had to draw that down to less than $1,900 as of September 15th. Ten minutes to 10. Bomb threat has delayed the CD6 results. Rigalva wins in CD7. In a repeat of 2022, the race for Congressional District 6 was too close to call late Tuesday. Part of the reason were problems in Cochise County after a reported bomb threat delayed results for hours. Incumbent Republican Juan Ciscomani was down 53-45 as of 10:20 p.m. against Democrat Kristen Engel. Ciscomani typically does very well in Cochise County, making it too early to call. He won his first term in 2022 over Engel by 1.5 percentage points in one of the few truly competitive congressional districts in the nation. Ciscomani was rated earlier this year by the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University as the most bipartisan among the Arizona delegation and 45th among the 435 members of Congress. He was running on his record this time, which includes a seat on the powerful House Appropriations Committee. The district includes portions of five counties. The CD7 race, which includes part of Suarita, incumbent Democrat Raul Grijalva skated to his 12th term in Congress, and according to him, his last term. He beat Republican challenger Daniel Gutierrez, who got more attention than expected after Grijalva announced in April that he was fighting cancer. The heavily Democratic district didn't appear to waver in its support for Grijalva, who missed hundreds of votes in Congress and looked gaunt in a local television interview in September, where the reporter threw him softball questions. In other races around our state, CD1 Republican incumbent David Schweikert was narrowly losing to Democrat Amish Shah, who beat five competitors in the Democratic Party. In 2022, Schweikert won re-election by less than a percentage point. In CD2, Republican incumbent Eli Crane was up by 11 percentage points against Democratic challenger Jonathan Nez for his second term in Congress. The district has a 7-point GOP voter registration edge and covers just about 60% of the state. In CD3, Democrat Yasemin Ansari was cruising to a win for the seat left vacant by Ruben Gallego, who is running for Senate. She ran against Republican Jeffrey Zink and was up 70-30 as of 9:30 p.m. CD4, Democratic incumbent Greg Stanton appeared to be heading to his fourth term in Congress. With a win over Republican Kelly Cooper, he was leading 56-42% late last night. In CD5, Republican Andy Biggs was headed to a fifth term over Democratic opponent Katrina Schaffner, 57-43%. And in Congressional District 8, Republican Abe Hamada appeared to win the seat left vacant by Debbie Lesko, who is running for Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. He was ahead of Democrat Gregory Whitten at 9:30 p.m., 53.5%-46.5%. Okay, and then here's an article, just mostly pictures, but it's called Election Day Blog. Here's what we saw throughout Tuesday. There, here at the Speaker's Corner, there was a Donna Noonan and Sylvia Rhodes were two of a small handful of people out showing their support for their candidates. Here's another picture of reporter Brianna McCord came across the side of a very nice car that says Trump 2024 on it. And that was at the Quail Creek Madera Clubhouse. No doubts where the owner stands. Stop and listen. Nico Lucero, a.k.a. DJ Too Nice of Suarita, was at it early on Tuesday with a DJ booth set up in the parking lot of the Good Shepherd United Church of Christ in Suarita. He provided entertainment for DJs at the polls and a national non-partisan group that brings DJs live locally to polling sites to create a festive atmosphere on Election Day. And reporter Brianna McCord also ran across a woman at a poll at Casa Paloma in the rec center, said she was with the Election Protection Coalition, which is a national group made up of more than 100 local, state, and national partners that works year-round. And Rick Woodard, who liked the fact that he voted the lines at the East Center by voting early in the day, Woodard voted for Kamala Harris in the presidential race. I just don't want Trump to get in there again, he said. He raided our nation's capital. I don't want him to have the opportunity to do that again, for sure. And then there was Marine Corps veteran Jack Arnold. Hey, Jack, who also voted early at the center and was glad to beat the line. I voted for Trump because I fought a war against communism, and I see communism in these two, Arnold said, of voting for Donald Trump over the Harris-Walz ticket. And Ari Lynn Oslin was opening up the Green Valley Democrats' office yesterday morning at the Continental Shopping Plaza. A couple of volunteers were already preparing to walk the neighborhoods in a last-minute effort to get out the vote. They use a minivan, a canvassing app that makes the process more efficient. Oslin said that since mid-October, they've knocked on 6,000 doors and have had 3,000 conversations locally. And across the parking lot at the United Republicans office, there was a discussion about key issues in 2024, along with the disconnect that they sometimes feel when speaking to Democrats. The office was busy and said the national news they'd already had about the high GOP turnout was encouraging. But early on, both sides were optimistic about the outcome of the presidential race. And a poll worker said that a man brought his California ballot and asked if he could deposit it in the Quail Creek Voter Center mail ballot box. And I told him that wouldn't work, the worker said. He would have to send it to California. And good luck with that. And let's see here what we're hearing. Here's some quotes from people around the area. We talked to people at several polling sites around town yesterday. Patrick Anderson said, everyone is apprehensive about the truth. Nobody knows what to believe anymore, but I have confidence that Trump will win. And then Velma Whittier was quoted as saying, I'm worried and I'm anxious. I'm afraid if Trump wins. And Stephen Goulet, I'm feeling fine. I got a good night's rest. The election has been nuts, though. It's too bad we have a politics that divide people, he said. And Morgiel Morgan was quoted as saying, I'm generally feeling hopefully about my vote. And Bev Lawless says, I'm feeling hopeful. Lots of folks are honking in a positive way. And then their following comments are anonymous because the speakers didn't want to be identified. So somebody said, you can never get to truth. The media leans too far left. It's like one big political party. And the next quote is, there are lies everywhere. It's insane. And this election season wasn't very democratic. Harris didn't win any primary votes. Another person said that the election season seemed about normal, just a whole bunch of stupid ads and lies. And the last one was, I am supporting Harris. I'm very nervous about Trump. I'm hoping there aren't any outbursts from him afterwards, after the results or an upheaval. Well, we will find out. Sounds like Trump has won the ticket, though. And that will bring us up to about 30 seconds before 10 o'clock. And that was the reading of the Green Valley News. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a very pleasant day. Stay tuned to Sun Sounds, and I will see you next Wednesday. Till then, take care of yourselves.